I'm Jeremy Barron, and this is Colt Gennaro Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. My guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat is Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat. Rob makes his standard Monday appearance to discuss Atletico's 2-1 win over Real Sociedad on Saturday in La Liga at the Wanda Metropolitano. Atleti's unbeaten start to the season continues. It looked a little hairy for a while as Atleti fell behind in the first half. It's the second time this season they've trailed in a league game. But goals from Felipe Luis and Antoine Griezmann against his old team in the second half secured the 3 points. We'll talk about it. That impressive second half in which Saul and Koke took control of the game, Griezmann's improving form, Felipe's peach of a goal, Atleti's midfield performance in general, and where Atleti stand in the league title race. They're 6 points behind Barcelona, but just 1 point behind Valencia, and still ahead of both Real Madrid and Sevilla. We'll also preview the Champions League clash on Tuesday at Stamford Bridge, Atleti taking on Chelsea. There's still a chance, an extremely, extremely slim chance, that Atleti will progress to the round of 16. We'll preview that contest, whether Atleti can actually pull off the miracle with some help from Carabaj against Roma. We'll also hit on some news, including the latest on Shime Versaligo. Before we continue with this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat, a couple housekeeping items. Make sure to subscribe and listen to Colt Gennaro Chat on iTunes and leave a rating and a review as well. When you leave a rating and a review, it really helps the podcast's visibility, gets more eyes and ears on it. Also, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. You can check out all the cool rewards that come with being a patron, including a behind-the-scenes look at how each show gets made. We're going to be updating the rewards over the holidays, so do be on the lookout for some pretty cool updates to your current benefits, current patrons. Patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat is the place to be. We'll be back with Rob Walker after this. So, in the spirit of our previous conversations regarding food, I wanted to tell you, I think you saw it on Snap last night, but I wanted to tell you about a barbecue place I went to.
Oh, okay. Let's hear it.
Honey Bear's Barbecue.
Okay.
Out here. Tennessee style, amazing. Like, my dad's been going there for, like, ever.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah, I had a hot links sandwich. It's like spicy sausage, side of mac and cheese for like $8.
Oh, nice.
It was incredible.
That sounds pretty good. My family's from Tennessee, so I'm more partial to their kind of barbecue anyway, so yeah. I approve of this.
There's just something about the taste, something about the consistency of it, you know?
Yep, and people are very specific about their barbecue sauce.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm not a mustardy type person myself, but some people very much are.
Yeah, I'm not either. We don't have barbecue in Arizona. We have Mexican food. That's our barbecue. It's Mexican food.
Not a bad alternative.
No, absolutely
of
not.
Of all the alternatives, that is certainly not the worst.
Oh god, the Mexican food out here is just so dope.
Yeah, that's what I tried to have the most when I was out there.
Oh man,
because it's probably much more authentic than there is on the East Coast, which is mostly just sort of repurposed tacos and such.
That's a nice way of putting it, Rob.
Yes, it is.
Repurposed.
I stopped myself.
All right. Let's proceed into the whip around.
Yay.
We are 98% done with match day 14. We have one match to go. It's Girona and Alaves. They are playing later today. That could actually be a pretty fun game. Alaves on another manager, no less.
Yes, one of the more surprising teams from last year, and then one of the most surprising teams this year.
Yeah, kind of a clash of surprising teams, as it were.
Yeah, except Alves will probably get smoked.
It could be interesting. We'll see.
You never know.
We'll see. On Friday, however, Malaga dominated Levante, but drew 0-0. That's not good for Malaga. They really could have used a win there against a Levante team that, as we know, have been slipping recently.
Yeah, keeping a clean sheet, they certainly didn't look like they were anywhere near that when they played Atleti. But
yeah,
I guess that's the difference between 20th and 1st.
Malaga outshot Levante 18-3, managed 62% possession, and could not score.
Well, things haven't really been going Malaga's way all season,
nah.
Not surprising.
At least I got a point, though. On Saturday, Saturday was a big day, Rob. Big, big day. It started with Barcelona and Celta Vigo playing out a 2-2 draw. Iago Aspas is amazing. I love him. Samuel Umtiti is also out for 2 months now with a hamstring injury. That's a major problem for Barca, as he is far and away their best defender right now.
Yeah, and that means that we're going to get to see a lot of performances from Tommy V, who is, of course, the greatest center back to have ever lived. So
oh, Lord.
We're all looking forward to that.
Yeah, your Arsenal bias isn't showing there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think even Arsenal-based people will tell you it wasn't even that good. Barcelona are fantastic at buying the absolute worst ever Arsenal players, but I digress.
Also on Saturday, Sevilla, 2-0 winners over Depor in a pretty unimpressive game. Depor still hovering around the relegation zone despite all that talent they have. They're in 17th. Athletic, 0. Real Madrid, 0. The quote-unquote crisis rolls on at Madrid. Rob, another goalless draw at San Mamés.
Yeah, and against this was a match that I fully expected Real Madrid to kind of step back up into, because Bilbao had been bad all season.
Yeah,
and I really wasn't expecting them to get anything out of this. But as we know, San Mamés is an incredible stadium with incredible atmosphere, and they got a result. So, yeah, not looking good for Real Madrid. And this, of course, if you were playing the La Liga drinking game, you do have to take a shot for a Sergio Ramos straight red card. Oof. That is a lifelong rule.
God, it was so funny. Because the argument after the game was, oh, Ramos never even touched Autoriz. I'm like, yeah, he did. He gave him a forearm to his neck, and he was already on a yellow. What's there to debate here? He clearly got him.
Yep, he certainly did. And, you know, even if he didn't, I mean, his reputation might precede him. But
there you go.
For someone with as many red cards as Sergio Ramos, you can't really say that's unfair.
On Sunday, Leganés with a very impressive 3-1 win over a shorthanded Villarreal. Villarreal, they're doing this thing again, where they show up against the good teams and just lay an egg against the not-so-big teams.
Yep. Leganés are just pretty standard.
Leganés are just a point behind Villarreal now in 7th.
Yeah, and they've been one of the more impressive sort of second or third tier teams in La Liga this season, Leganés.
Yeah.
But even still, Villarreal should be doing much better.
Massive result at Getafe. 1-0 winners over Valencia. Was not expecting this. Valencia missing Gonzalo Guedes and Jason Murillo due to injuries. But 10-man Getafe. They played with 10 men for more than an hour on a pretty bad pitch. But they fought like hell to get this win, and they got it. Massive stuff.
That's a massive result, especially after the Valencia-Barcelona game last week. Everyone was kind of watching to see how they would both react, and it didn't go well for either of them. So I think that's good for everyone else, pretty much.
The last few weeks, Valencia have really been made to play with the ball, and they had done pretty well up until this game.
Yeah, I wonder if... I mean, they, of course, had some injury concerns, but... You know, I wonder if teams may be kind of starting to figure out Villarreal, or not Villarreal, Valencia.
I get them confused all the time, too. It's not just you.
Yeah. Same, near each other, have the Catalan flag and their badge. It's confusing. Okay,
they both start with V, you know.
Yeah.
Eibar.
And now I've confused Levante, because I said bats. Okay, go ahead.
Eibar continuing their resurgence with a 3-1 win over Espanyol. And Las Palmas, 1-0 winners over Real Betis in a game that I thought would kind of finish 5-5, but it only finished 1-0, as Las Palmas finally look like a real team again, and the pressure ramps up on Quique Setién and Betis, who have just one win in their last 6.
Yeah, and after starting the season, we thought Betis were probably going to be one of the hottest teams. They were scoring tons of goals and were really fun to watch, but...
I mean, they're still mid-table, they're still in 10th, but their defense is just, it's not top-flight quality. Only Las Palmas have conceded more than them.
Yeah, that's the big problem, is their defense is that, yeah, they've had all these exciting games, but that's because they've been conceding
right.
a lot of goals.
Their
so.
Defense is just so bad. They have, and Antonio Adon's a really good goalkeeper. I think he's really underrated, but just the rest of that defense is just, it's Segunda quality. It's not nearly good enough.
Yeah, that's been the problem. I still think they'll probably be fine this season. They probably got enough points on the board early, so they're going to be floating for a little bit, but if they're not careful, they could definitely get sucked into it.
Yeah, they're still in decent shape, 8 points clear of the drop, rather, but
It's tight down there.
Stranger things have happened. All right, let's take a look at the top four. Barcelona still ahead of the pack on 36 points. Valencia on 31. Atletico on 30. Real Madrid on 28. Sevilla on 28 as well. They are in fifth. Now, the one result we did not talk about. Atletico Madrid 2. Real Sociedad 1. That is Atletico 2. La Real 1. A remontada at the Wanda Metropolitano. A first home win for Atleti in 2 months. Better late than never.
Yes, and vanquishing more demons, coming back from a losing position to win, and the week after we've banished the demons of playing at Levante. So, things are looking all right now, kind of surprisingly.
Just the second time this season Atletico fell behind in a league game when Willian Jose scored that penalty on half an hour. And Atleti, though, with a tremendous second-half performance, which we'll talk about, to get the win. Rob, this is the second straight week Atleti have recorded 10 shots on target in a game.
Yeah, I know. Clearly there's been...
What's going on? I'm scared.
I don't know. I'm really confused. But clearly there's been a conscious change made, probably from management at some level, to get this team to start playing more, because they realize they're not as defensively stout as they once were. And I think that's the right decision. You have to make up for your weaknesses somehow. And they've been good defensively this season, but they know they can't just rely on protecting a 1-0 anymore. That's not really going to work with this current team composition. So it's incredibly encouraging to see the team taking this many shots, because we know they have the quality to do it. They just haven't done it in the past, but now they are. So times are good. The games are fun to watch now.
The first half of this game, though, was not very fun to watch.
No. This is true.
The first half was abysmal. I think Atleti were simply appalling in that first half. Sociedad had all the ball. They had all the control. Jan Oblak took out Mikel Oyarzabal in the box for a clear penalty. I have no idea what he was doing. And then Willian Jose just beat him right down the middle. And when halftime came, it was more of the same. Like, oh, this is the Atletico we've been seeing most of this season. They look, you know, really just uninspiring. There's no drive here. They're getting dominated in possession. Alvaro Odriozola was amazing in the first half. He was eating Felipe Luis for lunch. But as you intimated, a conscious change was made in the second half. What did you see between the first half and the second half?
Well, if you look at it, in the first half, Atletico had 4 shots. And then after that, they had 16 by the end of the match. So clearly...
Doing some simple math.
Yes, doing some simple math. I think there might have been some words said at halftime. I think... The whole team, even though there are still problems, and we know that there are, like, Koke playing on the wing isn't great, and how Correa was particularly awful. In the second half, the more creative players like Antoine Griezmann and Saul in particular, and Felipe Luis, of course, all stepped up big time and just really, really changed the game in a way that Atletico haven't been able to do this season yet. And it was encouraging, because after going down 1-0, I, like you, was quite concerned. I didn't know if they were going to come back because they looked so bad. But second half, they turned it up.
Yeah.
16 shots, 10 on target. That is excellent.
And they were lucky to be down only 1-0. Willian Jose missed another big chance, 2-on-1 with Oblak. It could have easily been 2-0, you're facing a bigger deficit there and even harder to come back from that. But... luckily, it was only 1-0, and in the second half, yeah, let's start with Felipe, because I think he was absolutely masterful in the second half. Odriozola, just as good as he was in the first half, that's how bad he was in the second half. Just nothing from him going down the right-hand side. Felipe just won that matchup pretty handily by the end of the game, and Felipe scored an amazing goal of his own, with his right foot, no less.
Oh, sensational. I mean, he looked like a center forward up there, the way he moved it from his left onto his right. Like, that was his strong foot. And, I mean, it was just such confident play. And, I mean, he is a veteran player, but even still, he's a left back. I guess they wouldn't have been expecting him to do that. But, yeah, it was a sensational goal.
I mean, we're, you know, coming up on the halfway point of the season, and Felipe hasn't shown any signs of slowing down. And that's been huge.
Crucial.
Because imagine where Atleti would be if Felipe wasn't still at this level at 32 years old.
Yeah, that's the thing. We could have very easily had another Juan Fran-type problem on our hands.
Yeah, I was actually concerned about that entering the season because of Juan Fran's decline. And speaking of which, Juan Fran is still injured.
Yeah, these things are probably going to just take longer and longer with age.
Yeah, but Felipe, I thought, was amazing. He finished the game with 11 tackles. 11.
Immense. Yeah. He was incredible on defense as well as attack.
And only one foul, and he scored just this peach of a goal from a Saul cross. And we'll talk all about Saul in a second.
And that's the thing, when we're playing these central midfielders on the wing, like we did in this match with Koke, who was primarily on the left, he came inside a lot, of course. But, I mean, that puts a lot of onus on Felipe to get up and down and provide a lot of that attacking threat. And if you look at Felipe's pass map, most of his passes are in the opposition's half from left back. And, yeah, you know, that kind of tells you all you need to know.
And a lot of them were completed, too. Over 89% pass completion on 56 passes, 84 touches.
So he was excellent.
Just excellent again. Also in defense, Tomas starting it right back again. It's an awkward fit. It's probably going to keep looking like an awkward fit. But, seven tackles of his own, three interceptions. He holds his own there, even though he's just not a right back. Let's just face facts.
Yeah, it's very clearly not his natural position. But he can do a job there better than anyone else in this squad, honestly, that I would have confidence in. Maybe Hosema. But even still, I think Tomas might actually have a bit more in terms of technical ability than Hosema that kind of benefits him when he plays at right back, which is certainly awkward for him.
Yeah.
I think everyone can see that.
It was good to see Hosema get a second consecutive start, too. I thought he was a little uneven, especially in the second half. I thought he was a little uneven, but it was great to see him play. He was overall very good, and that's Jimenez and Godin, or Jimenez and Lucas, is it's got to be Atleti's best partnership. You and I have talked about it so many times. It's clearly Atleti's best partnership.
Yep, absolutely. And I agree with you. I think he was shaky at points in this match, but I think we saw some good signs of growth. I mean, he's very active in defense. That's what you can always say about him. He's going to make a bunch of clearances. He's going to make a bunch of interceptions. And occasionally he's going to miss one and may give up a good opportunity to the other team. But you just kind of got to take that in stride. But he's looking good. And he is maybe, now that Godin has kind of tailed off a bit in terms of scoring, he may be one of Atleti's best set-piece threats, because he's quite good at the old heading in the goals. But
yeah, against Elche midweek, he obviously scored a flying back post header. Yeah, in this game, four interceptions, five clearances, blocked a shot. His distribution was fine. And overall, a very solid game for him.
Yep, absolutely, and he just needs more game time, period. I mean, that's the thing with him. He hasn't played enough. He got injured a lot last season and just never put together a run of games, but hopefully this season he'll start to get some.
You talked about Koke earlier, and I want to talk about him and Saul together, because in the second half they just took this game by the scruff of the neck and would not let go. I think it was very impressive from both of them. Saul, because he obviously set up both the goals. But Koke, I think, ran things in a way that we talk about him needing to do. He actually did it in this game. He dictated the show, I thought, in the second half, and provided that ball over the top for Saul to slide over to Griezmann for the winner.
Yeah, and this is the thing. I mean, I think you and I have been saying for a while we'd like to see Koke and Saul in a three in midfield, because the two of them together, you leave yourself hanging a little bit defensively in the central midfield. But the two of them together, I think, have always looked like a strong offensive combination. They're on the same wavelength a lot of the time. And man, they were both very good in this game. And they've been good this whole season, which is what they really needed. They both got big contract extensions, and that's what we had been hoping to see from them. They were great.
Yep. Three key passes for Koke. Completed 90% of his passes. He was playing a lot more in the middle in the second half, which, not coincidentally, meant Atletico played better. And yep. Saul was just everywhere in the second half. He set up both the goals. He didn't get credit for an assist on Griezmann's goal, which was weird to me, because I think it was clearly a pass. I think they gave him credit for a shot with that header, but I think it was a pass. I'm almost certain it was.
Yeah, I would have given him an assist. I don't know if the defender gets a touch on that. I'll have to watch it again. I don't know why they wouldn't give him an assist for that. But
yeah, but his first assist was just sensational. A run down the right-hand side, shrugs off a defender like an NFL stiff arm, does a couple step-overs, crosses to Felipe, who for some reason is unmarked, and then Felipe does his thing, and it's 1-1. That is what Saul can do, and when he's afforded that freedom and that flexibility in attack, That's how good he is. That is what he can do. He's just amazing.
And Saul has all the potential in the world. I mean, he's a great physical player, and he's an excellent technical player as well. And I think we saw both those things in this game. Like you said, with the first assist, he showed good strength, but then a great presence of mind to pick out Felipe across the box and sort of trust him that he's going to be able to do something, because he is. If you get Felipe in these positions, he's fairly reliable in terms of setting people up, generally not scoring. But
And those step-overs, they were just so sexy. Mm. So sexy.
Yep, and this is what we need from Saul and Koke, because the two of them have the ability to take over games, and they didn't really do it quite enough last season, but I think this year we're starting to see it a little bit more. Maybe they're becoming more confident as leaders in this team as sort of some of the older guys start to get phased out.
Speaking of those older guys, what did you make of Gabby's performance? I didn't expect Gabby to play in this game, but he ended up taking over 100 touches and playing pretty well, I thought.
Yeah, I thought this was just standard Gabby, which is exactly what Atleti want and need from him at this point. We're not expecting him to be a world beater. I mean, the reality is he's coming towards the end of his career, but he's looked good in the more limited than usual minutes he's played this season. I thought he was pretty solid in this game. There's obviously going to be certain things that are left wanting, but in terms of his passing and his defensive stats as well, he looked very solid.
Yeah, his distribution was excellent. He, too, completed nearly 90% of his passes. I mean, he took 105 touches, was excellent, I thought, defensively. You saw kind of a shift in how Atleti's midfield kind of started running the game in the second half. In that first half, Zirutuza, Zubeldia, Iramendi, they were excellent. Zubeldia, especially, 20-year-old midfielder being in the center of that 4-3-3, I thought he was very good. And in the second half, Atleti just kind of were more physical. Atleti were able to get into better positions in the final third. They had 56% possession for the game after having about 40% in the first half,
which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, that's quite the turnaround. Not something you expect to see.
No, and not something we've seen a huge amount this season either, that stat flipping like that. But I mean, I think at this point of his career, Gabby is probably better suited to do that defensive work, the kind of ugly defensive stuff, because he's really good at it, and his distribution, once he does get the ball, is very good. And it kind of requires him to run a little bit less than he would normally, which I think is nothing but good at this point. But yeah, I think he was good as well. Those three, I think it'll be interesting once we get an actual right back and Thomas starts getting back into the mix for midfield, because he was fighting off the three of those guys for playing time for a lot of the beginning of this year.
You know, right now, I don't really want that to happen, though, because that means Simeone's going to go with four central midfielders. I don't like that, as you know.
Mm. Yeah, and I think we've kind of seen that hasn't been working too well with this squad.
So as much as I don't really like seeing Thomas at right back, as long as he's playing all right there, then I kind of like where this is going.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Thomas, I mean, it's definitely possible that Thomas can end up embarrassing you playing at right back, but we haven't seen
that
yet.
Probably not.
I hope not, but the possibility is there.
I mean, embarrass himself or embarrass others?
Embarrass himself. Oh, well, because he leaves a lot of room in behind.
I don't think we're playing with house money on that front just yet, but the more you play him out there,
eventually.
Yeah, eventually there's a chance. We talk about turnarounds, and Antoine Griezmann is in the midst of one. He scored the winner in this game against his old team. Didn't celebrate because he said he never would against La Real. And I thought for a second he actually did not get a touch on this ball, but he got just the slightest of touches past Rulli, who was already taken out by Saul's header. And you mentioned before you wanted Griezmann to have one of those like Cristiano-type games where he just took a ton of shots and just kind of put the team on his back. Didn't quite do that, but 5 shots, 3 on target, scored the winner, over 50 touches. Was kind of isolated in the first half, but second half he was a lot more involved, a lot more direct.
Yeah, I mean, he was basically taking his shots and Gamero's shots since Gamero had zero. So he had to kind of help him out there, but it was a very ugly goal that he scored, but that's the kind of things we need from Griezmann. We need him to score the ugly goals sometimes. because otherwise no one will score if he's not camped out there at the back post. But he's in the middle of a great resurgence right now. That goal versus Roma, I think, really did wonders for his confidence. And then he was great against Levante, and he got another winner in this game. So we just need more and more of the same from Griezmann. I mean, there's always going to be the silly rumors that come out every 2 or 3 weeks about him talking about some other club. But just don't worry about it at this point. Just let him do his thing.
Yeah, since he was pulled in the Madrid derby in the last 3 games, 4 goals, 2 assists. Not bad.
Yeah. Booing works, I think, is the
booing works.
The lesson we could all take from this.
Yeah, so Atleti still unbeaten. Eight wins, six draws.
Now 1 of only 2.
Now 1 of 2 since Valencia lost at Getafe on Sunday. Barcelona are the other unbeaten team. This is the longest Atleti have ever been unbeaten to start a league season. They're unbeaten in their last 18 overall in La Liga. You just got to think, we talked about this before, a couple of those draws, if they were wins, you know, where would Atleti be? But 6 points behind Barca now. Barca have just lost Umtiti. They're not playing nearly as well as they were a few weeks ago. Rob, how are you feeling about Atleti's league position right now?
Great, actually. I didn't expect it to be this good, especially after the first half of the season. In my wildest dreams, I kind of expected Atleti to be in this position towards the end of the season, but not right now. Defensively, they're great. They've only conceded 7 goals, which is the same as Barcelona, but they've scored 13 less, which is a problem. But if they keep winning matches, I don't know how resilient this Valencia team is going to be if they go through a bad patch of form, because it is such a new team. They have a lot of new players, new manager. I'll be interested to see how they handle that adversity, because Atleti could definitely capitalize. I don't know if they'll, because teams just don't drop that many points in La Liga, and 6 is still quite a gap to Barcelona, and it just requires Atleti to keep winning, which can be a problem, because they certainly have the ability to chuck away a random game to a draw or a loss. But hey, things are looking good right now, and a lot better than I think any of us thought they'd be.
Yeah, this is about as good a weekend as you could hope for from Atleti. They were the only one in the big four to win. They're now just a point behind Valencia, too. As good as Valencia have been playing, Atleti are just a point behind them. The 6-point gap to Barcelona is what it is. I'm not really eyeing that one. It's still 6 points is a lot of points. And, that's the big gap. But a point behind Valencia, still ahead of Real Madrid on both goal difference and points. Ahead of Sevilla on points, goal difference, and head-to-head. Yeah, I think Atleti are in a very good position, and they're finally playing better, too.
Yeah, and they're also in what may be their easiest run of the season in terms of fixtures, and they're taking advantage. So it's exactly what this team needed right now. They're figuring it out, and they're being resilient in the second half. I mean, this match was probably the most convincing performance we've seen so far this season. The 5 against Levante was great, but this game they were really up against it after the first half.
Yeah, and just a very impressive comeback in the second half. I think they're hitting form right now, and yeah. I think it's part of it is coinciding with Koke's return. Simeone talked about how much they missed him when he was gone, and they haven't lost since Koke's comeback. In their last 3 games in La Liga have just been, I think, very good performances. And they're finally good value for these results that they're getting. Still too many draws. I mean, they still have the second most draws in the league behind Levante. But you have reinforcements coming next month. And you have a relatively, I don't want to say easy, but a kinder run of fixtures over the next few weeks.
Yeah, and Barcelona's next few fixtures are not very kind, they have Villarreal, they have, of course, El Clasico.
Yeah, Villarreal.
2 days before Christmas.
Villarreal and the Clasico, sandwiched in between what should be a really easy win against Deportivo.
Yeah.
And then, they have their Anoeta visit next month, too.
Yeah, absolutely, and So that it's a bit of a tough run for them as well. You'd say if there was going to be a time where Barcelona could drop points in La Liga, this would probably be it. I think you're probably right to not be looking at that gap to Barcelona, even though when you first look at it, you think, oh, 6 points, but then it's like, this is Barcelona, and in La Liga, losing is not a common occurrence.
Yeah, I'm not at the point where, you know, I'm quote-unquote daring to dream.
Mm.
You know, it's still a six-point gap, and, you know, Atleti have failed to deceive several times this season. And so we'll see where this run of form actually leads, but the signs are very, very encouraging right now.
Yeah, if Atleti can get to second before 2018, I think that's a huge achievement.
If they're in second before Costa and Vitolo come in, like, we should be doing backflips. Because that will be far ahead of where everyone expected them to be, where we expected them to be. If they are in second ahead of Valencia and Real Madrid by the time Costa and Vitolo come in, that will just be a gigantic boost. I think mentally, physically, it'll be a gigantic boost.
Yeah, and it's interesting thinking, because at this point last season, I mean, it was pretty much over. There was no real optimism, but at this point it feels like there's so much that can happen. I mean, even if as someone, you know, if you say there's absolutely no chance Atletico even come close to the title, it's like, well, in a year where they've had a registration ban and couldn't get any new players, they're in third place and 1 point behind second and unbeaten. It's like, yeah, I'd take that at the beginning of the season. I think everyone would have.
I like how we're being all positive about La Liga, because now we have to talk about the Champions League.
Oh, God.
But before we do that, mattress maker of the match against La Real?
I picked Felipe for mine. I could understand Saul's pick as well.
I went Saul, yeah.
Yeah, I think those two were the definite candidates.
All right, let's get this over with. Champions League.
Here we go.
It's game time. Atleti and Chelsea on Tuesday. Atletico, curiously, not training at Stamford Bridge. They trained at their complex in Majadahonda on Monday before flying to London for that evening's press conference, and then they'll play Chelsea tomorrow. Apparently, it was at Simeone's insistence that they stay and train in Spain.
Interesting. Maybe he doesn't like Chelsea's training ground or something.
Yeah, who knows. But at any rate, the odds are very, very much against Atleti. They need to beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, and Chelsea are in pretty good form right now. And they need Carabaj to get a point in Rome against a Roma side that is also in form right now. Can they do it, Rob? Do you believe in the miracle?
You know, I kind of do. But more than I should believe that it could happen. But, you know, not extremely confident. I'm not totally abject about this match. I think it'll be a good match, probably, between two very good teams. Atleti needs some revenge. Maybe Chelsea don't really care a huge amount since they're already qualified to the knockout round. Not in first, obviously, which they'd want to have, but even still. And I don't know. Carabao gave us two hard matches. I feel like they owe Roma one. But, no, I don't think... I think Atleti will drop into the Europa League, but it's still there. It could happen.
Just for your reference, Atleti, according to 538's latest projections, which were on Sunday, Atletico have a 2% chance of finishing second in Group C, a 98% chance of finishing third. The only team with a higher chance of finishing third is Sporting Lisbon at 99%.
Oh, great.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There is a chance. There is certainly a chance. I don't know. I want to believe more that it could happen, but I don't think it's gonna.
Yeah.
I actually do believe Atleti will beat Chelsea. I just don't think Carabao will be able to do it against Roma.
Yeah. See, I don't think Atletico are even gonna beat Chelsea. I don't think they're going to. It's a really tough game against a really good Chelsea side. It's gonna be tough to go there and win. And Chelsea still have the group to play for. They've already qualified for the last 16, but they still have, you know, a chance to win.
They can still win the group. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is true. This is sad, man. The group stage went by.
I like how we were so optimistic. Quickly. We were so optimistic like 5 minutes ago, and now we're just in the dumps.
Yeah, well, you know, there's precedent for us being sad about this competition, so.
Yeah, quite a bit of precedent. Which means the Europa League will feel like the sweet release of death.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much those Europa League games, how much I'm going
to be able to watch those. You know, think about it. Would you rather lose to Real Madrid again or have a chance to win Europa League?
I'd rather be in the Champions League.
I mean, sure, but given that you're not going to be, would you rather go lose to Madrid again, or would you just, you know, be the favorite, the overwhelming favorite, probably, to win Europa League?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, sure. Why not? Winning trophy is always what you want to do, and I don't think... I mean, but to be honest, I feel like the teams that have been good in this year's Champions League, Atleti would actually be a good match for, the English teams in particular. I think not Chelsea, but the other English teams, I think, aren't as much set up in a way that could beat Atleti easily. But we won't get to see that.
Beat Carabaj, then you probably don't deserve to progress in the Champions League, and that's what Atletico did twice.
Yes, and they probably deserved to win both those games, but they just didn't, and that was stupid. And they got punished for it.
Stupid.
Those were the most frustrating matches we've had this season by far.
No, no question. And since we're not going to do a podcast for the rest of this week, I guess I could say this now. I mean, we can't really whitewash this. We can't say, we're proud of Atleti for, you know, making it to the last day of the group stage with a chance to progress. The expectations for this club are so far beyond that now. This can't be considered anything but a crushing disappointment and a failure in the Champions League this season. If you're considering it otherwise, you need to take a long, hard look at where the club are right now. Champions League qualification is essential to this team, not only for recruitment and for the current players in the squad, but for the club's finances. Atletico are going to lose a lot of money by not qualifying for the last 16. And they have themselves to blame and no one else.
Yep, you're absolutely right. And I think they got burned. They didn't take this group seriously enough, and it was a hard group. We knew that from the beginning. There were three teams that all could have easily gone through the knockout round. But they didn't take Carabag pretty much seriously enough. I mean, Chelsea obliterate them in the first match week, and then Atletico had played two damp squibs against them, and it just sucks. So, yeah, we'll play Europa League. We'll draw a first pot team or a first place finishing team in there, whatever that means. I mean, the Europa League teams are all not that inspiring, and I think Atleti will probably be the favorite, given that they've been to two Champions League finals in the last 3 years.
And they've won two Europa League titles already this decade.
Yep, exactly. So. They won the first Europa League, right, when it got renamed?
Yep.
Is that right?
After it was the UEFA Cup, and then in 2010 it was the Europa League.
So this is kind of an Atleti competition, but at this point, after the Champions League finals, we don't want that anymore.
I mean, we got to be honest, it's a step back. I think Gabby said it perfectly. The Europa League is, he said the Europa League is shit, but if Atleti are in it, they have a responsibility to win it. And I think that's kind of the, maybe not the mentality, that's the attitude. I think they shouldn't be in the Europa League. They're too good now for the Europa League, but this is where they are because they've underachieved. But if they're in it, they have a responsibility to go try to win it and guarantee, just in case things go wrong in La Liga, guarantee that they'll be back in the Champions League next year.
Yeah, and I think the only caveat for going for the Europa League to win it is unless something miraculous happens in La Liga and they're suddenly in a title race, in which case you can totally chuck the Europa League out the window. But we're not at that point yet.
Yeah, so. We're not nearly at that point with Atletico, who, still 6 points behind Barcelona. I mean, anything can happen. We'll see what Barca's form looks like in the next few weeks. We'll see if Atleti continue on this upward trajectory. But the current gap is 6 points. So
it's too much right now, yeah.
Right now it is, but Tuesday will pretty much be ceremonial in the conclusion of this disastrous Champions League campaign, which has featured just one win, and onward to the Europa League, almost certainly.
Yep, almost certainly. Barring a miracle. And if that doesn't happen, then you will have seen about it on Twitter, because it will be one of the most miraculous rescues from a group stage in the recent years, but I don't think it'll happen, so.
Yeah. So you think Atletico are going to win, though, on Tuesday?
I do, yeah. I think it'll be 2-1. But I don't think that Karabag will be able to beat Roma.
I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw, but I could see Chelsea just coming out and eviscerating Atletico. This is in a way the most Atletico thing possible, right? Is to go and win on match day 5, look really good doing it, give everyone hope, and then go lay an egg on match day 6. That's definitely an Atletico thing to do.
It's true. I don't think, even though they won the title last season, I don't think this Chelsea side is near as good as it was last year or is performing to the level that it should be. Morata's obviously been excellent, but other than that, they've had problems like with David Luiz, and I think the opportunity is there for Atletico to win, and it's their responsibility to damn well go for it.
They've said they're going to go for it, but even if Atleti do win, they need Karabag to go to Rome and take a point off Roma. Who have looked very good. Other than match day 5, they've looked very good.
Yeah, and if they get a point off Roma, then Atletico will still need a bit more goal difference to heave them up over them. So, ideally, we need Karabag to win, but I don't think that will ever happen.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Likely not. But that's on Tuesday. That's all kicking off Tuesday night, and we'll be covering it, and so on and so forth. Before we get on out of here, a bit of transfer news. The Shime vs. Atletico race is heating up. I wrote about it this morning. There was a report in AS saying that not only are Napoli interested in the Croatian, but Juventus and Roma are too. Atletico want 25 million euros, and they'll let him go.
It's a sad ending, because I think both you and I quite liked Shime vs. Atletico last season, but this is a sad way for it to end.
I rate him. But if Atletico can generate enough of a bidding war, and if Atletico can get 25 million for him, then, that's a 9 million euro profit on what they initially bought him for. And he's an unhappy player. He's disgruntled. Simeone is not going to use him, even if he's fit. He's been left out of the squad against Madrid and La Real. So there's no really real point keeping him around, especially with the World Cup coming up, if he's not going to play.
Yeah, I agree. And they need to sign, probably in the summer or January, 3 fullbacks. One is the starter at right back, one is a replacement for Juan Fran, and then a backup left back, really.
Well, it's interesting, because that report says that Atletico are mulling whether or not to roll with Tomas for the rest of the season or buy someone new in January if Versalco is sold.
Oh, God.
I don't know. I don't have any info on this, but I would not be surprised if they roll with Tomas as Juan Fran's deputy for the rest of the season. It would not surprise me one bit.
That would be so athletic. I agree with you. That sounds and then, quite likely, which is scary.
Yeah, and then next summer they'll kick the tires and they'll find another right back. But don't be surprised if for the rest of the season it's Juan Fran and Tomas, or Tomas and Jimenez at right back.
Yeah, Roma, we saw, I think Roma's right back, who's quite good, Bruno Perez, got sent off in the last game against us. Maybe they'd be willing to do a little swappy swap, even though those never happened.
I'd be down for that.
I
haven't watched him a whole lot, but he's been pretty good when I've watched him.
Yeah, except for the time he got sent off, that was pretty
good. Yeah, that one time where he, kind of kicked Felipe Luis across the face.
Yeah, not one for the highlight.
No, didn't quite like that. But yeah, that's the latest on Versalico, and yeah, it looks like his time at Atleti is going to come to an end far too early, I think.
Yep, I would agree. And some of the transfer things are kind of heating up right now. I mean, we have Vitolo, who is now back at the club apparently after this injury that he picked up.
Yep. Atletico figured, why not bring him back since he can't play for Las Palmas anymore anyway, since he'll be out a month. Why not bring him back? He was at the game Saturday.
Yep, I think that's probably the best possible solution, in my opinion.
Get him ready early.
Yeah, might as well, and get him in there. Him and Diego can train for a while, and they can sort of get ingrained in the team. And then we also have, it seems like, even though there were reports that a bid was rejected this morning, but the Lautaro Martinez, the Racing striker from Argentina, that's certainly heating up.
I don't think he's ever going to play for Atletico. I just have a sneaking suspicion that Atleti will end up buying him for 15 or 16 million, because Racing are being real sticklers over the price. They'll loan him out for a couple of years, and he won't ever play for Atleti.
Yeah, it seems like one of those. It's kind of... it's worryingly like a Diogo Jota situation.
So that's why I'm not really getting too excited about it, because I don't really see a clear way for him into this team. I don't really get why you're expending all this effort if you're just not going to play him anyway.
I think we just want to have all the Argentinian strikers in the world. I think that's how we're rolling.
Poach all of them.
Next thing up, well, you know who's coming next. Big Cholito.
Little Cholo, who's been playing very well in Italy.
Yeah, it's going well for him in Fiorentina.
Yeah, he's playing well there.
Might be one of the few examples of a father signing a son where the player might actually deserve
the consideration.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's one to keep an eye on. I don't know how likely it is, but that's one to keep an eye on if Cholo Sr. stays at Atleti long enough.
It's true. I mean, it's either one of those things which is totally going to happen or will absolutely never happen. It just depends on how Simeone, the elder, sees it. Basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, Gio's been good. We'll see what he's got.
All right, we will leave it there. I'd like to thank my guest, Rob Walker, for coming on today. Thank you, Rob.
Always a pleasure.
I'll ask you to stick around for just a second while I start and finish the sign-off message. You can follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. You can follow me on Twitter at jbbaron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. You can also like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/, you guessed it, Into the Calderon. You can subscribe and listen to Colchonero Chat as well on your favorite podcasting platform. That includes iTunes. Please leave a rating and a review, preferably a 5-star rating and a review, on iTunes when people search Spanish football, Atletico, Madrid, La Liga, Spanish football podcasts. Colchonero Chat will be one of the podcasts that features. It'll get more eyes and ears on the program, so please consider leaving a rating and a review. We'd really appreciate it. Also, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/ColtGeneroChat. Over the holidays, I will be looking at offering some new rewards for our patrons, our lovely patrons, including Chris Galvez and Sporting Gijon. It's a really good pun. Instead of Sporting Gijon, Sporting Gijon. Well done.
Yes, well done.
You can join those two as some of our lovely patrons at patreon.com/ColtGeneroChat. I will be on vacation for the rest of this week and into next week, so Colchonero Chat will be back next Thursday. Not this Thursday, but next Thursday. And until then, adios.